This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show. I am Igor. With me, as always, Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
Oh, and we are going to be on Facebook Live momentarily, so join us there. As you heard, the phone lines are open at 814-368-9372, and you can email us, garden@wesb.com. Good morning, Bob, and what's on your agenda today?
Okay, first thing I want to touch on is tell people it's not too late. You know, I know a lot of people get concerned that, you know, they got to have their gardens and all their plantings done by now, but believe me, it's not too late. As a matter of fact, it may be even a better time.
You know, my wife just wrapped up yesterday, but that's good to know we had a little bit of extra padding.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've told this story before, but as a matter of fact, some of my best gardens I didn't plant till July 4th.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of a tradition almost with me.
And what's in your garden?
Oh, vegetables and flowers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And even trees and shrubs. So, on course, trees and shrubs you can plant just about any time the ground isn't frozen. But kind of a tradition, you know, my family going way back July 4th weekend, we would go to the grandparents' house and help them with their gardens. So, just kind of something inside me that I kind of dragged my feet till late. I've got some things planted in my vegetable garden, but I'm not real concerned yet. You know, I still got plenty of time. Planted July 4th. You'll be surprised at how quickly the plants will grow because the soil is by then all warmed up and ready to go. Don't be concerned about it. The only thing to be concerned about is selection. You may have to substitute a few plants, but if you shop around, you'll find the plants you need. There's even a lot of seeds you can even start July 4th weekend there, and they'll be fine. So a bit of my advice is don't be too concerned. Don't think it's too late. You still have time, plenty of time to plant those gardens and be very successful.
Great. That's good to know.
Another thing I wanted to touch on is weather-related things. And there's a lot of weather-related mutations that can happen to your plants. Usually that weather relation is the cool weather now that we're experiencing here. Out west, it's pretty hot, you know, and they can get mutations from the heat, too. Some of the more typical ones is Alberta spruce. That's one I'm going to use as an example. That's an evergreen. It's a dwarf evergreen spruce tree. And sometimes, depending on the weather conditions, and it usually happens through the winter where we have an extreme cold streak and then a little bit of warm, it can make the plant have a funny growth to it. And what usually that growth shows up as real longer needled and much vigorous growth branch that all of a sudden pops out. Now, you can just prune that off. But why that happens is because that dwarf spruce has really been developed from a large spruce tree, from a mutation that caused it to become a dwarf. And sometimes weather can change a plant to revert back, or just part of the plant, to revert back to its original size and development. So that's just a little bit on plant mutations. They can change in one season, depending on weather, you know, extreme weather. So just be aware of that. And if you do see a mutation like that, you just trim it off, and usually you're good to go.
So it's not ruined forever. It's just
It's not ruined. It's just a little bit of a change that it went through.
It got a little funky, but it'll be all right.
And plants can mutate for other reasons too. You know, pests can do it, not only weather related, but pest and disease can cause them to mutate a little bit. But usually if we just trim off that mutated part, then we're good to go.
All right.
So another weather related item is pest. And seems like every year we have a different pest that seems to attack our gardens.
I had Japanese beetles for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Are those going to come back this year too?
Oh yeah. They're going to be here every year. Maybe not in the extreme abundance, but they're here every year. Most pests are.
Yeah.
Maybe in small numbers. And I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of those pests go in cycles. And the Japanese beetle, I can't remember exactly, but it may be around a 10 or 11 year cycle that its population explodes. And so we have to be prepared for that.
I haven't seen any yet this year. Maybe it's a little early still.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about the July 4th thing again.
Okay.
Because it can be very interesting. That's usually when they emerge from the ground. They've been underground all winter long as a grub feeding on your grass roots and trees and shrub roots. And then as the soil warms up and they develop into a beetle, they will start to emerge around July 4th. And I did get a chance to watch one time. I was doing a landscape in Smithport, PA, and right by the golf course, and sitting there eating our lunch, and we could see all of a sudden a lot of movement coming out of the golf course.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I mean, it was tens of thousands of them coming out of the ground. It was pretty amazing sight. I know it was going to be real destructive, but it's pretty amazing sight to see them emerging. Now, I guess I got to go on a little further. There are things you can do to alleviate the problem, you know, anywhere from Japanese beetle traps. And I know a lot of people will say, no, they just attract beetles. Yeah, they attract beetles. That's what they're supposed to do. They have a pheromone in there, a sex pheromone, that attracts the beetles to that trap and into the bag. But what you have to do is
put it away from your garden.
Yeah, put it away from your garden a little bit.
Distract them away from where you don't want them.
And you have to empty it often. As it gets a lot of dead beetles in it, you have to empty it because...
That smell, Bob.
Yeah.
I could smell that smell.
If you get a lot of dead beetles in there, the reverse starts to happen. The beetles are not attracted to it anymore. They're repelled by that smell.
So am I.
Yeah, we all are. So they do work somewhat, but of course the best way to care for Japanese beetles is a product called Milky Spore. And it comes in it used to come in a powder, it still does, but now they've even developed a granular form that's a little easier to spread. And you just spread that on your lawn. Now this is good forever. You only have to do one application forever. Now it doesn't work immediately, and it's a living bacterium that's hibernating right now. When you spread it, can't do you harm, can't do your pets harm, anything else harm, except the beetle grub it attacks. And it wakes up when it senses the grubs that are becoming active, feeding on your roots of your grass. And that brings it to life, and it starts to multiply, and it starts to attack the grubs. Now, one way you can tell it, if it is working, is dig up a grub, and if you squish it, and it gives out a lot of milky instead of a blood or a lot of animals, you know, give a green juice out of it. This one will be a milky juice out of it. That way, you know that the Milky Spore is working, and you should be fine. And the amazing thing about the Milky Spore is you apply it once, and you're good for forever.
For those eating breakfast right now,
yeah.
Welcome
yeah.
to the gardening show.
That's part of gardening, though.
Squish your grubs.
when they've lowered the population of beetles, they just go back into hibernation and wait for that signal again, you know, and so that population of milky spore is there forever for you. And like I said, it's totally harmless. There are chemicals and pesticides that you can apply, but they are not really selective like the milky spore. They can kill off a lot of other creatures too. So be aware of that. Milky spore is a great product. So that's some of my weather related things, and then going into insects, you know, also the gypsy moth, you know, we deal with that every year. And that's another one that goes in cycles where it has a kind of a low population for a few years. And then like now they're predicting a higher population.
I've seen, are those the ones that are the little caterpillars that coming down from the trees?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And you'll probably see a lot of leaf litter on the ground. And maybe they're frass on sidewalks and patios and so on. And there are products to help alleviate that too. And what the main product, which is harmless, it's not an insecticide, it's a natural occurring creature called Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT. And we can apply that safely, and that only attacks the caterpillar.
What's that label? Is that labeled BT or?
Yeah, it's labeled B.
Because I don't know, like, because that's a pretty big scientific word. Is that going to fit on the packaging? What am I looking for?
Yeah.
What's it look like in the store?
BT or caterpillar killer. But also be aware that us people that love birds, that by killing off the caterpillars,
you're getting rid of a food source.
Yeah, you're getting rid of a major food source for the birds. I'll give you, for instance, they've done the studies on the chickadee. And for a chickadee to raise a full hatch of eggs, it might be 4 to 5, the young. They need, and I know the numbers are going to sound amazing, but they are true. It's a real scientific study. 5,000 caterpillars they need to raise that hatch of young.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you rid your property of all those caterpillars, you're also ridding your population of birds too. And all birds are going to use the caterpillars because that is a real good source of protein for young that are starting to grow.
I see. Chock full of protein, those caterpillars.
Yes.
We have an email. garden@wesb.com. Diane writes in, good morning. I have 12 rows. What's that? Sevillina?
I'm not certain.
Sevillana. Rose Sevillana. Anyway, she has 12 rows, whatever that is, that are 20 years old, and only 3 have some leaves at the base, and the rest have none. Some of the wood is soft, but brown, and some are gray, but strong. Please tell me if I should trim them to the ground, which when I bought them, I was told never to do. Or should I sadly remove all but 3 that have not really shown much growth since last month? Thank you, Diane.
Boy, this is embarrassing. You know, I don't know what that plant is.
Rose Sevillana.
Yeah. So I really can't say anything about it because I really don't know what that plant is.
To Google we go.
Okay. I'll chit-chat a little bit like he's Googling, okay?
Oh, it's this. Oh, it's a brand name.
Oh, it's a brand name. Okay. Oh, of a Jackson and Perkins shrub rose. Okay, good. I'm glad this lady brought this up. Because a lot of people are seeing a bit of a problem with their roses this year. And that's all weather related. Once in a while, we're going to have a winter that they just don't like a whole lot. Don't be discouraged. Trim off all that dead wood as much as you can, because that can develop into a fungus that can, gravity can pull it down and get into the root system. So we want to trim it off as soon as we can. The rose will recover 99% of the time. Also, roses are heavy feeders, so we want to give them a good fertilizing and keep up with a good fertilizing program to keep the growth coming and the flowering. I'm glad the lady brought that up, because we are seeing a lot of that around town and other towns too, where there's been a lot of damage to roses. But don't be concerned. They will recover, and feed them, and you'll be very pleased. Give them time, and they'll be fine.
And that's true, never to trim them all the way to the ground?
Yeah, that's true. You should never trim the whole plant to the ground. Mm-hmm. The dead material, if there's no leaves or buds on it at all, that area you must trim as low as possible, even possibly right to the ground. As long as there's some plant left, you're fine.
All right, great. Thank you very much for writing in, Diane. If you have a question for Bob, you can email it, garden@wesb.com, or you can give us a call, 814-368-9372. And we're on Facebook Live as well. And we have some show and tell that we still have to get to.
Yeah.
And we can get to that next. We'll take a short break. And we'll be right back with more Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM, sponsored by Worth W. Smith Hardware. Be right back.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. With the weather heating up, stay comfortable with a room air conditioner at Worth Smith. They have plenty in stock. For your outdoor work, you'll find lots of wheelbarrows, all put together and ready to go. And a nice variety of new garden flags. A big selection of Carhartt clothing has finally arrived, along with spring boots for men and women. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And what else is on the agenda today to talk
what's
about?
What's next? Yeah. This time of year, too, we've had a lot of pollen the last few weeks. We're getting towards the end of it. So this is the time you want to concentrate on cleaning up those decks and patios, the windows of your house and so on, and even your car, you know. A lot of us try to wait till after that pollen season, because you can clean up your deck and patio and then you wake up the next morning and it's all covered again. So we are getting real close to that time. Some of us have already reached it, that the pollen has really gone its course.
Good.
So it's time to do a real cleanup. And for those that have some allergies to pollen, a couple pieces of advice. If you, I'll just say, got to mow your lawn and you do have an allergy, the best time to mow your lawn is when it's damp. The pollen is laying real low. It's not stirred up by you walking through your lawn. Then not a hot, dry day, because you will stir the pollen up. But you could wear a mask. We've all been used to that. So you can do that. So you can still safely go out there and mow on a hot, dry day with the pollen all around. But for those of us that don't want to, just try to do it early morning, late evening, when it's a bit damp out. There's a lot less pollen in the air at those times. So that's a bit of my advice for that.
Okay.
The gardeners that have a bit of an allergy with pollen, which most of us do. I got some plants to show.
Staring at them here. Yeah. I'm like, you know, that looks like... That looks like something to talk about.
I'm going to start with this one here, okay, too. And maybe I'll get it a little closer.
All right.
Because
this is on Facebook.com/WESB107.5.
One of my favorite plants, called Lantana. And as you can see, it has different colored blossoms on it. And what's really happening is, as the blossom first appears, it's one color. And as the blossoms age, then they start to change color. So it's a very interesting plant. As a matter of fact, it's one of my favorites for the fact that it does that. So my garden's always changing. And it has very, very few pests or insects that like it. But it really draws in the hummingbirds. They just love that plant a lot. So, and also, It's one of those plants I talked about earlier that can grow very large. I've had them that grow 3 foot wide even.
Wow.
So it can take up a lot of space. It can be very inexpensive to buy, even though it seems expensive to buy the one plant. But keep in mind that it's going to cover a large area and you're only going to plant one. And it's an it's one of those easy care plants too.
Is it a perennial or an annual?
It's an annual.
Okay.
Yeah, annual plant. So that means it only lives for one season. It can withstand a lot of that hot, dry, which we may get sooner or later in the summer. As a matter of fact, that's when it really starts to shine, mm-hmm. is when it's hot and dry. So that's the lantana. Another one of my favorites, I brought my favorites this time, is called Angelonia.
Angelonia, and it looks like a purple, light purple.
Yeah, and it's going to come in other colors too. It's going to come in a blue and a dark purple and a white and a pink. This one here is another one of those plants that I really like because it doesn't have many insect pests, but also those pollinators like the hummingbird and the bees love it, and it just has an interesting flower on it, kind of like a snapdragon flower.
And that's more of it's a vertical kind of, I see it
that
jumping
too.
Up.
And to give height in the garden, it's yep. an excellent plant, and it's very, very carefree. Once a stem, got one stem here that just has one or two flowers left on it. Once all those flowers are gone, if I just trace the stem back and clip that off, that will encourage new stems that have new buds on it and going to be new flowers to keep coming. So it'll flower all summer long.
And how tall will that get?
These can get about a foot and a half tall.
Okay.
So that's another one of my favorites because it's pest resistant and easy care. It's something I don't have to go out there and water every day and worry about. If it becomes real dry, it really doesn't harm it a lot. Until I can get to it and water it and fertilize. Always fertilize all your annuals because they are a one-year
one
plant.
One and done, yeah.
Yep, so they grow rapidly. They flower profusely because that's what they have to do in life. So in that case, they take a lot of fertilizer. So don't be afraid to fertilize them. That can be the success or failure of your garden, the fertilizing. And the last one I brought in is a potato vine. And this one's going to come in different colors also. Usually comes a yellow foliage, a green foliage, or this nice bronze foliage. And there's even a deep, deep, deep red foliage one. This one can grow very, very rapidly, is easy care. And I've really never experienced any pest on it. Again, that's important to me, you know. I don't want to go out there and have to spray or collect pests all this time. So he's going to check the tag.
I'm looking at the label. I thought maybe it was a picture of a mature one, like all the way.
It will flower. It will get a little purple flowers, but it's just known for its great growth and foliage color. This one here works great in those window boxes, something you want hanging down. Because it can
really so that'll grow over and droop down.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's a vine. So it works well that way. Again, real easy care, not bothered by a lot of pests. Now I did call it potato vine. It does develop the tubers, potatoes, but these potatoes are poisonous.
Oh dear.
So don't eat the potatoes. Oh, okay.
And that's something to know also if you have pets that go outside, perhaps, maybe, or in my case, chickens. You don't want them.
Yeah.
You don't want them pecking that.
Now the tuber is poisonous. The rest of the plant, I'm really not certain. But you know, going back through history, you know, most potatoes are really poisonous.
Yeah.
The Inca really did developed ones that were edible from the original poisonous plant, so that now the potatoes we eat are very nutritious and. One of my favorite garden plants, a potato. So that's a potato vine. A few more annuals to show you. And ones that I recommend and I've used quite often.
Now, when you talk about vines, I wanted to real quick ask you about different like ivy and things like that that grow up.
Okay.
Is that considered a vine, ivy?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So I was thinking about planting some, but then again, I see a lot of places that have problems with ivy.
Yes.
And it's taking over the yard or the house even.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen or you know, to worry about it invading my arborvitae bushes.
Yeah.
Is that a concern or is there a way to manage that?
Yeah, it's a concern, but it is manageable, very manageable. And I got to tell you about one interesting thing about ivy. And you're talking about the perennial ivy, English or Thorndale ivy.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to just kind of get it going over my picket fence so I can have like a natural kind of block fence privacy just with ivy.
Yeah. And what a lot of people miss out on, for good reason, is that ivy will flower and then produce a berry, the English ivy, only when it reaches the height of about 15 feet. It won't flower on the ground.
Wow.
It only flowers once it reaches a certain height. I've had a chance to witness that in a few places, and it's pretty spectacular, really. But most of us don't want it climbing up our house or up our trees. If we keep up a maintenance program, and I'm not saying you don't have to go out there every week, you know, once a year, go out there, and any ones that are trying to get out of bounds, you just cut them off. And you can control it very easily. It's not going to climb up your house overnight,
right?
And overtake it. But it will take maintenance, and it will be maintenance forever to take care of it. Just like mowing your lawn, you're going to have to do that forever. Or a lot of your shrubs going to have to be pruned forever. So some of those vines, they also need a pruning once a year for forever.
Okay.
So well, just be aware.
Once a year, that's not too bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
But if you do let it go, will they kill other plants like my bushes?
Yeah.
They
yeah,
will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't let it go. Now, if you have a nice stone house or a well-built brick house, it's fine to let that ivy climb up there. It won't really do any damage. But us with the wooden houses or wooden siding or even vinyl siding, you know, the plant can try to get underneath the siding and try to pull it away. So it can be harmful in that respect. But again, with a little pruning, we can get rid of that and keep it on the ground where we want it to be.
Okay. With that, we are in the books for another gardening show. Thanks to everyone who listened. You can get us on demand at WESB.com, and you can send us an email, garden@WESB.com. Will you be back next week?
Yep, sure will.
Mr. Master Gardener? Okay.
Okay.
All right, Bob Harris, thank you, and have a fantastic weekend. This has been The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. It's B107.5 FM.